Good morning. How are you guys doing? You guys doing all right? You know, it's kind of funny that we're talking about being cold, huh? Any of you guys cold? I realize that, you know, people in Southern California, we just do it different because I'm out with Priscilla. It's like 8 o'clock last night and we're walking and we're outside and I'm like, oh man, it's so cold. I can't believe we used to live in Alaska. And then I looked and then I just realized, wait a second. Everybody's walking around without jackets, you know. Nobody's got a jacket on, you know. If you just put a jacket on, you'd kind of warm up. But there's those silly things that you're just kind of like, wow, you know, what am I really thinking in the process? It was like yesterday was Super Saturday, and so that's the bigger than Black Friday for shopping. And so, you know, everybody's out, and they're buying stuff, and they're getting things. And then I realized, well, wait a second, I guess our dogs need something. And so as I'm at the store, and I'm buying stuff, and I'm like, wait a second, you know, my dogs don't really know that it's Christmas, do they? You know, I mean, Luna just thinks that it's time to eat the stuff under the tree, you know, and so, but she doesn't really understand that it's Christmas, you know, I mean, you know, let alone really know that she's a dog, you know, she just thinks this is just who she is, you know, and it's funny that we buy gifts, you know, we buy sweaters for our cats and stuff, you know, that's probably about as useful as getting a hat for your microwave, but you know, there's all kinds of things that we're buying and getting for people at Christmas time, and just, you know, one of the highlights is to just be, to look at the lights, you know, to be able to look at the lights at Christmas time. Do you enjoy doing that? You know, I saw that the people that have the record this year is in Singapore. It's in the Universal Studios there, and 824,961 bulbs glow at their light attraction. And then if you don't want to go all the way to Singapore, if you go to New York, there's a home that actually has 601,736 lights. And so you just imagine how bright that is, huh? You know, it's like we used to live in Vegas. And what's funny is when you're driving to Vegas, have you ever done that drive? And you do it at night. And you're looking at your GPS. You're like an hour and a half away, but you start to see a glow. You start to see that glow of all those lights. And as you start to get closer and closer. And I think that we all have our favorite things that we like about Christmas time with our lights, our favorite type of ornaments, our favorite type of, you know, maybe for some of you it's going to the zoo lights, maybe it's going somewhere in the neighborhood or going on the boats and watching the parade of lights. But there's something about it that just kind of perks us up, that makes us feel good when you see those lights. And so as we wrap up our series, we've been looking at Christmas, and the very first week we looked at life and how Jesus has come to give us life. Last week we talked about Jesus coming to give us love, and we talked about how Jesus came in truth and grace. And apart from that, when we have those separated, that's how the world sees things. But Jesus came, and with truth and grace together, that equals love. That changes our life. It changes the world around us. But today, we're going to talk about light. We're going to talk about that Jesus is the light. And so, you know, I want you to see in the Christmas songs that we sing these songs, and it's just such a great opportunity to share about Jesus. But like when we sing Silent Night, Holy Night, you know, a lot of times people will think, oh, it's about darkness and light, and but what it's really about is Jesus. Listen to the words. It says, it's the Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face, with the dawn of redeeming grace. Man, isn't that beautiful, huh? That we can be redeemed from the life that we live, and it's through him, it's his light. And then we look at Hark the Herald Angels Sing. It says, hail the Son of Righteousness, light and life to all he brings, risen with his healing wings. And there's something about that. There's something that's in Jesus that's different than anything else. When we look at the scripture, it talks about that he is the light of the world. When we think of Jesus, we should think he is the light. He is the one that makes this world happen. and that because of Jesus, we don't have to walk in darkness anymore. And so today, as we look at the light, I want you to understand is that this is a great passage, and we're going to kind of walk through it. There's a lot of people that say the name of Jesus. They talk about Jesus, but they don't understand the light. They don't understand the light that we're talking about. So when we look at our friends that are Mormon or Jehovah Witness or Jewish or Muslim, and they say, oh, Jesus was good. You know, Jesus came to pay for my sins. They'll say all of these different phrases, but they don't really understand that he is God. He is the light of the world. And so I want you to know, as you turn in your Bible to John, and we're going to start in verse 1. We're going to kind of go through it together all the way to 14. And what I want you to think about as you're reading it is that Jesus was fully God and fully man. And when you take that, because a lot of times I'll hear people like Muslims, I'll hear a Muslim say, Jesus is a prophet, he's good, he's not God. And that's their big case. They keep saying, he's not God. You talk to Jehovah Witnesses, you know, he's a little God, but he's not really God. And you talk to Mormons are just, oh, they're so friendly, they're so nice, and they just smile, you know. But their idea of God is completely different. They believe that you and I, if you're a man, you could become your own God, and then you can have your own Jesus, and you can have your own universe. But I want you to know, when we read the Bible for what it is, listen to this. It's amazing. It says, in the beginning, the Word. And remember what we've been talking about the last 2 weeks? When you see that capital W, who are we talking about? Jesus, absolutely. So it says, in the beginning was the Word Jesus. Already existed. The Word Jesus was with God, and the Word Jesus was God. He, Jesus, existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through him, Jesus. And nothing was created except through him, Jesus. The Word Jesus gave life to everything that was created. And in his life, Jesus brought life, light to everyone. Jesus brought light to everyone. See, the whole idea of having light is really interwoven with the idea of life. Light and life, they're interwoven together. You can't have life without light. And so in your study guide, I want you to write this in, is that Jesus is the crucial light. Jesus is the crucial light. See, when God brought life out of the chaos of creation, it says in Genesis 1:3, let there be light. What happens with light? When light comes, the seas begin to swarm with life. The seeds of the earth begin to bud and blossom. Light, the photosynthesis, causes plants to produce. See, life itself was built on sunlight. And as we look at it, without our world, if there was no light in this world, it would be cold, it would be dark, and everything would be dead. All apart from light. And so when Jesus was born in Bethlehem, he began to give us life. It was the Holy Spirit that shined the light of the gospel into our hearts. That's like, think about it, it's spiritual, it's divine photosynthesis. As Jesus comes into our life, our souls now see light. We can breathe a new breath. Our heart beats new. See, it's all about Jesus, because we were dead, and the light gives us life. It says this in Psalms 119, verse 30. It says, the teaching of your word gives light. Jesus gives light. He's the word. He's the one that gives us light. Apart from Jesus, do you know what we really are? We're just dead men walking, aren't we? We're in the dark walking to our graves. But because of Jesus, because of who Jesus is, he's the one that gives light. He's the one that can renew dead bodies. What's dead in your life? Are there things right now that are physically that you're like, wow, they are just going in a handbasket? I mean, this is just in bad shape. What about relationships? That it's like, oh wow, this relationship is dead. I don't know if there's ever going to be hope here. He is the only one that can give us light. In John 1, we continue on in verse 5. It says that the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Wow. Because of Jesus and his light, no matter how dark things are, it can never extinguish his light. What does that mean? That means that he will continue to shine, that there's nothing that can take that away. It's not like this experience, like, whoa, there was Jesus, and I don't know where he's at now. Jesus is constant. So in your study guide, go ahead and write this in, is that Jesus is the persistent light. Jesus is the persistent light. See, in the natural world, the speed of light is constant. That's something that we can count on. And we had Albert Einstein help us with that, right? Albert Einstein said in the theory of relativity, he said the reason that we can count on things is that light is constant. That there's one thing that we can count on, and that's light, the speed of light. And then he says everything else is relative. Well, isn't that true? That the thing that we can count on is Jesus. Everything else is relative. It comes and it goes. It's up and it's down. But Jesus is persistent. He's constant. See, and then we go on to verse 9 in chapter 1. It says, the one, Jesus, who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. I mean, think about it. As John is sharing to the people around him, he's saying, you know that the Logos, that the creator, the top of the universe, what keeps order. And as he's explaining who Logos is, and then he says that he's come to this earth. He's come, not just up here. Remember, the Greeks at that time, it was all this kind of abstract. It was kind of this impersonal God. And John says, no, now it's very personal. That this light that I'm talking about is for you. It's for your light, right where you're at. See, did you know that light is made up with seven different colors? Did you know that the spectrum, When you take those seven colors and put them together, it creates this pure light. And you think of seven. What do we think about that in the Bible? We think of purity. We think of holiness. We think of perfection. See, when Jesus comes, we see perfection. We see purity. We see goodness. We see pure light. See, we see those other lights. We see that glow of Vegas, right? You know, one day that glow is just going to be gone. Those other glows that we see in life, they're just temporary. But with Jesus, it's continual. You know, with Jesus in our lives, it will never go out. Jesus will never say, oh, hey, you kind of made me mad or upset, and so I'm going to go away. No, Jesus stays constant. And I want you to know is that everything else, as it fades, you know, even the sun will eventually fade, right? Eventually, it will lose its light. You know, it will stop shining, but Christ will always shine. So if you write this in your study guide, is that Jesus is the source of light. That Jesus is the source of light in your life. And when everything else fades away, the Bible makes it really clear that it's Jesus. And so as the sun fades in Revelation 21, verse 23, it says, "And the city has no need of the sun or moon, for the glory of God illuminates the city, and the Lamb, Jesus Christ, it is light." See, he's the light. There'll be a time, no more Energizer Bunny, no more batteries, no more fuses. It is Jesus, that his power will glow over everything, will shine through everything in life. We'll be able to bask in those rays of him. Isn't there something, especially right now that we're a little cold, even in this room, isn't it something great when you're at the beach and you just feel the sun coming down on you, and it's like, oh, what a great feeling. That's just a poor comparison of what it is. It's Jesus pours his light on us. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to shine over every area of darkness in our life. See, I think about it that not all people will accept Jesus. Not all people will accept his light that he has for them. And I think of my Mormon friends and Jehovah's Witnesses and Jewish friends and Muslim friends and my friends that just refuse. They're just like, I don't want God. I don't want anything. I'm going to live this life for myself. I'm going to do it my way. I mean, it's sad to think about that, but John writes really clear about it. And as we look at verse 10, he says that he, Jesus, came into the very world he created. But the world didn't recognize him, Jesus. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. See, some people just don't want to see the light. They just don't want to see Jesus. They're fine in the dark. Have you ever been to a nightclub before or a bar? I mean, when it's Friday night and it's Saturday night and everything's going, it's dark and there's some lights flashing up above, but you really can't see. You really don't know what you're eating. You don't know if there's mold actually on that stuff or not, you know. And then the worst thing is when you go the next day. And you go there and you'd go there around 12 o'clock today and you'd walk through the place and you're like, man, what a dump. You know what? What an absolute dump. I mean, we were having this great time yesterday, and we were having this fun time, and man, this place stinks. I see rats bigger than my dog, you know. This is horrific. Well, that's what people want to do, is just stay in the dark. I'd just be happy in the dark. I don't want to see what's going on. I don't want to have to be accountable. I don't want to have to respond to things. But Christmas time, we're called to be the light. Why are we called to be the light? Because as followers of Christ, Christ flows through us. Our hands should be Christ's hands extended. Our mouth should be Christ's words spoken to the people around us. And when we think about lost people, it's like, how do we share? I mean, for some of us, we've almost given up. Have you? On certain people, you're like, yeah, I'm just kind of done. You know, and I want to encourage you again. You've got them on your seat. You've got them on the way out. Guys, I think we should use every single ticket that we have to invite people to see Jesus. I'm going to talk about four gifts about Christmas and about the gifts that God wants to give you. And I believe that it will speak to everyone. I believe God's word is alive and breathing. And so I'd ask that you would use this. I'd ask that you would invite. Last night we bought a bunch of cookies, and that was my idea. And so we bought a bunch of cookies, and I said, hey, how about we take our invite cards And we'll just hand them out to the people in our neighborhood, and we'll give them a plate of cookies, and we'll put this in with the cookies. And there's now no white chocolate macadamia nut cookies because of me, but people will have other cookies, and they'll be able to enjoy those. But I realized, wait a second, every person in my neighborhood, they need to experience what I've experienced. Jesus changed my life. And the reason why you're here is because he's changed your life. And to be a light is to shine to the people around us. You know, we've got the devotions. I encourage you, take these and give these to people. It's funny because people read it, they'll pick it up and be like, huh, that's interesting. Oh, yeah, that's pretty helpful. That's pretty helpful for my day. And then it's funny how they just get caught up. And I believe as they start to read and as they start to read stories and they see the scripture there, I believe that the light starts to shine. Guys, for some of us, we're just so afraid of what other people will say. Katie has a video to play. Will you play that?
Okay, here's a question. Do you believe you have a personal responsibility to share your faith? Surveys have shown that the overwhelming majority of you would answer yes. Okay, so what about this question? Have you shared your faith with anyone in the last 6 months? Surveys have shown that a majority of you would answer this question no. I guess it's just not as easy as it seems, or at least as easy as we'd like it to be. Well, here's another question. How many times have you personally invited an unchurched person to church? Now, this seems simple, right? And yet, surveys tell us that almost half of you would answer zero. I mean, there are lots of reasons why we don't, right? Like, maybe it still feels a little awkward and uncomfortable. Or maybe we're just unsure how effective it is. Or we just expect to hear them say, well, no. Okay, so listen to this. When people are asked why they came to church in the first place, the vast majority of them say, I began attending because someone invited me. It wasn't the music or the pastor. It wasn't the childcare, the youth program, or the building. Although these are all great things, important and valuable things, the main thing that got most of you up and through that door the first time wasn't any of these. It was an invitation. Christmas will be here soon, and it's the perfect time to share with others what your faith is all about. And it can all start with one more simple question. Want to come to church on Sunday? Let's change the stats and let God change hearts and lives this Christmas. And let's start with something simple, an invitation.
Someone asked Priscilla the other day at work. They said, "Hey, Priscilla, will you come to church? I'm singing at church tonight, and so do you want to bring your family?" And Priscilla was like, "No, I don't want to go. Get away." You know, I mean, that's our fear, right? You know, and what was really the response? I mean, Priscilla was texting us and saying, "Hey, can we do it? Can we go to this thing?" You know, I was invited. Most people really do want something in their life. They realize I'm kind of missing something. There's something in my life that I need. We know that the answer really is Jesus. And I encourage you because, see, we look for all of these other things. We try to sell things. We try to buy things. We try to do things and thinking that will fulfill us. But it's not pure. It's like part of it is so good, but the other part just our motives and things just make it so it's not pure. And so write this in, is that Jesus is uncontaminated life. Jesus is uncontaminated life. Jesus exposes sin, but he was never contaminated. So just like as that nightclub, the lights came on, Jesus completely exposed where we were at. He was undefiled. The Bible calls Jesus the light of the world. He's pure. He's sinless. He's the Son of God. He is God. And so then when we look at verse 12, it says, but to all who believed him, Jesus, and accepted him, Jesus, he gave the right to become children of God. Guys, I just want you to underline that, that become children of God. It was Jesus that gave the right to become children of God. We've all heard it before. People are like, oh, we're all God's children. You know, we're all God's children. We just call them different names. You know, we're all God's children. That might be a great idea or thought that you have, but that's just not what the Bible says. That's not what God says. It says the only way that you become a child of God is through who? Through Jesus, the light. It says that they are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting in human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the word Jesus became human and made his home among us. He, Jesus, was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen Jesus, glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Guys, there's nothing cleaner than that when you're talking to someone about your faith, about what you believe. They say, who is Jesus? And you can share that he is God, that he came down, he humbled himself beneath the angels. Why? To give us life, to set us free. That's why he came. And so as John ends there in verse 14, you can write this in, is that Jesus shines the glory of God. That when we see Jesus, that's the glory of God. See, it outshines everything. It's when we see grace and truth, we see his love and compassion together. See, the Shekinah, the glory of God that filled the tabernacle, and then the glory that filled the temple in the Old Testament, that glory, so powerful, that's so big. That's the glory of God. That's Jesus Christ himself. And as we celebrate him, and as we think about how great he is, that he came for us, and that as he came, we became children of God. I mean, that's absolutely amazing. Guys, I feel like we don't really grasp the picture of God coming for us and how huge that is. Because I think sometimes for myself, and maybe for you, we can kind of take it for granted. Be like, yeah, I'm saved, I'm a Christian. Yeah, it's cool. People, you do your own thing, whatever. You know, that's okay. You know, I've tried to talk to them about Jesus. I tried to share with them about God. They just weren't interested. They just didn't listen. Guys, when are we supposed to stop sharing Jesus? Never. Never, never. What about when people are rude? What about when people are mean? What about this one? What about when people say, stop talking about Jesus? Does that mean that we say, okay, I'm done? No, what I always say is we got to find a different angle. We got to find a different way to share Jesus with people. Why? Because our lives matter. You know what? It's I didn't do anything for God's love. I didn't do something that was so special that Jesus said, I'm going to give you eternal life. And I hate to say it, neither did you. It was his grace. It was his love for you. And so who deserves it? None of us deserve it. But it's such a great gift. And so we want to share that gift with people. That's why in your study guide, I have a little thing, and it's your Christmas list. And what I want you to do on your Christmas list is I want you to write the names of people. I want you to write the names of people that God is putting on your heart. For some of you, it's your kids. Some of them, it's your neighbors, it's people at work. It's a family member. It's the friends that we have. But I want you to start writing those names down and saying, God, I need a miracle this year at Christmas. God, this person is so hard and they're so jaded. They don't want to see your light. They don't want to see the hope that can be found in you. But I'm not giving up. And guess what? God's not giving up. God's not giving up. And so we want to write that list. We want to be able to pray for them. You know, I'd say in most cases, you know, it's never, people will say, oh, you know, you're always asking me to church. You're always, yeah, you know, that is what I do. It's because I care about you. And so I am going to invite you. I am going to give you a devotion. I am going to buy you a Bible this year. I am going to, everything I do, try to point you to where hope is, where life is. Guys, for some of you, God may be putting that person on your heart, and maybe you need to start sending some texts to that person. You know, it's funny, I have a kind of certain friends that it's like every day, once a week, I try to send a text and just, hey, what's going on? How are you? How are things going? Guys, for some of you, that's exactly what God's saying about these people, about how do I keep letting them know how valuable and important and that God has a plan for them. Some of you, it's writing a letter. Some of you, it's in your gift. In your bulletin, you'll see a thing for Right Now Media. You can send incredible videos to everyone you know. Guys, this is a great Christmas gift, especially gentlemen that haven't done all your shopping. All you have to do is go to the top of Right Now Media, and you can send out gifts to everyone and just say, hey, I want you to be a member. I want you to be set up. It's free for them. It's a gift from our church. Some of you, I think maybe God's even putting on a letter on your heart to just write down and just say, hey, I just want you to know at Christmas time how much you matter to me and how much you matter to God. But write that list and pray over those people. Because there really is no life without light. And if people do not have light, they're just blind people stumbling around. And guys, for some of us, you get kind of frustrated at them stumbling around and how they cause problems or this or that. Guys, I want you to understand, they're just blind. They don't have the light. They don't see Jesus. See, the lights went out when Adam was in the garden. And as Adam took responsibility, Eve taken a bite, he takes responsibility. And as sin entered the world, it became dark. But Jesus came to give light. You know, Jesus entered into Bethlehem as a baby. And we think of the beautiful light shining and the stars just so bright that the wise men are on their way. But I want you to know right now in your life, he wants to bring light. And what are those areas that only Jesus can give brightness to? For some of you, I want you to know, I'm going to pray just in a second. For some of you, you just need to turn. You've been looking the wrong direction. You've been at the club in the dark and just saying, I'm content, I'm fine. But today's the day to turn and say, no, I'm going to turn to him. And I believe that God wants to bring wholeness and hope to your life. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, I thank you so much. God, I thank you for the opportunity. God, one more day. God, the breath that you've given and the light. Apart from you, we are dead man walking. God, I love you so much. God, I'm so thankful for every person here. And for some of us, maybe a first time, for some of us, maybe we've just realized we've been focused away from you. And today's the day of turning to the light. God, I ask that you would be with us this week. That we continue to turn to you. God. God, that we continue to embrace your goodness, your hope, your light. If it's you today that you're like, Rich, you know, Pastor, I just feel real guilty. I feel real bad. I just keep staying in the dark. I want you to know that today, just as the Bible says, today is the day of salvation. To embrace him. You can do it right now. You don't need a pope or a priest, but right where you're at, to call out to him. Just say, God, I need you. I want your light to overflow in me. And for others of you, the prayer really is, God, I ask that you would allow me to be that conduit. God, that you would help me knock out any things in my life that need to be pushed out. And God, that your light would flow through my hands. They'd flow through my feet. They would flow through my mouth. And today, before we go into worship and we celebrate and thank the true light, I just ask, if you're here today and you say, I need prayer, Pastor. There's things going on in my life. I just need prayer. Would you just, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if that's you, if you say, I just need God's power in my life right now, would you just look up at me if that's you? If that's you, if today is the day, yeah. The things that look impossible by the world's standards, yeah, that God wants to flow through you. And God's going to meet you right where you're at. God's going to meet you exactly where you're at. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for today. God, we just want to be that city on a hill for you. And we thank you in Jesus' name.